Tonight, like I said, we're talking about being awesome stewards. Let's begin in Luke chapter 12. How many of us have ever been to a third world country? Like India or Africa? One of those. Okay? Korea? Korea is not a third world country. Not according to the World Bank. And the reason I ask that is, we live in the richest nation on the face of the earth. And a lot of times, we don't realize it. And even sometimes we see people in need on TV, or we see poverty. There is nothing like seeing it with your own eyes and being there and seeing the people and taking in the smell and touching people. We're truly blessed in this country. I want us to remember that as we read this passage in Luke chapter 12, beginning verse 47. Jesus obviously is talking about, the context is his return. He says, that servant, he's talking to the disciples now, that's you and me, who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants, will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does think deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. You know, we don't like reading passages like this. But we got to look at them and talk about it for two reasons. Number one, it's in the Bible. And not only that, this is Jesus talking. This is God talking right here in the flesh. And he's basically telling us, as Christians, as his children, to get ready for his return. Because one day we're going to have to give an account for everything he has entrusted us with while in this world. Now, one of the things God has entrusted us with on this earth is the ability to make money, the wealth that we have, and as a matter of fact, everything we have. Are you with me? It's all been entrusted to us by God. God has blessed us with salvation. Amen. But God has also blessed us with a lot of wealth. You say, hold up, Richard. I'm not rich compared to Steve Jobs or Bill Gates. But compared to the average person on the face of this earth, you're very rich. Most of this world, believe it or not, live on less than $2 every single day. That is still the reality. And I'm not saying this to make us feel guilty. I'm trying to help us understand that, you know what, all this stuff that God has entrusted to us, he says, a whole lot more is going to be asked of you and me. Are you with me? One day we're going to have to give an account for our lives, the money that God has entrusted to us, everything that he has entrusted to us, we're going to have to account for it. Amen? And that's why we've got to take this thing very, very seriously. I want to make three very quick points. And then Thomas Wood is going to come up and talk some more to us about the financial peace thing that's about to, again, get rolling. But I want us to look at some Bible tonight. Amen? Amen? Number one, I want to make three points. Number one, God owns everything. Oh, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Psalm 24. God owns everything. Psalm 24. In Psalm 24, in verse 1, it simply says, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. Very simple passage. David is telling us right here, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it. Is there anything missing that doesn't belong to God? That also includes us as individuals. God owns us. As much as the Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians, that you and I were bought at a price. It cost Jesus his blood. Are you and I? You understand what I'm saying? For you and I to be reconciled back to God. God owns our lives. Everything we have belongs to him. This earth belongs to him. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 16. Again, talking about Jesus. As a matter of fact, you can back up to 15. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn from all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. Amen? He's talking about Jesus. He says, everything that you and I can see, even stuff that we cannot see, everything was created by Jesus and for Jesus. Amen? God didn't create this earth so that you and I can just use it for our benefit. He created it for himself. Everything God has given us, he did it for himself. Are you with me? And I wanted us to start there because I think a lot of times we forget that we're stewards. And we act like as if we're owners. We're not owners. We don't own anything. It all belongs to God. And I forget many years ago, as a young disciple, hearing an elder teach a lesson on giving and, you know, being sacrificial and great financial management. And he was talking about how, and I forget the point he was making. And he simply said, you know what, the fact that God has given you the ability to make money or to make a lot of money does not give us the right to go increase our standard of living. And I've never forgotten it. Now, don't forget, it is God that has given us the ability to do all this stuff. But unfortunately, what happens is not, even as Christians, we forget that it's God's. And we start using the resources for ourselves. Is there something wrong with having a BMW? No. But before you go spend $30,000 on a BMW, make sure you've given the Lord a whole lot more than that. Before you go buy $500,000 house, make sure you've given the Lord a whole lot more than that. Because it's his. And I think we forget that sometimes. And it shouldn't be that way. We are stewards, not owners. What's the definition of a steward? It's someone who gets responsibility and authority from an owner to look after the owner's property in the owner's best interest. In return, the steward agrees to account to the owner regularly for his performance compared with the owner's standards. That's the definition of stewardship. The thing that I get convicts me and scares me is that, you know, one day I'm going to have to account for all this stuff. Amen? Amen? The implication is that you and I don't own anything. And as a result, it does matter how we manage and how we spend God's money. It really does. You may not hear that from other preachers, but I will continue to say it until I die. Amen? Because it does matter how we manage God's resources that is given to us. Remember that when you and I became Christians, we surrendered the title to our lives to Jesus. We surrendered everything. We gave it all up. Amen? It's all God's. It's always been God's. Bro, can I borrow a pencil from you? I need to write them down. Just give me a second. This is not a pencil. Chill out, guys. Now, if that pencil belonged to Alan, and I did that with his pencil, you would have every reason to react that way. But that pencil is mine. I gave it to him before the service started. And I told him, I'm going to be needing it pretty soon. You see, a lot of us, that is the way we're managing the resources God has given us. We're misusing it. We're trampling upon it. And one day you are going to give an account because it's not yours. It never was. It never will be. Amen? Everything belongs to the Lord. We can never forget it. Amen? So, don't get upset with me. But I knew I was going to get that kind of a reaction from you. Because normally, when something doesn't belong to you, you take care of it. You return it prayerfully in a better condition than when you received it. Are you with me? The same thing I really believe we need to be doing with the money and the resources God has blessed us with. Amen? Remember, the Bible does say it is God that gives us the ability to produce wealth. My second point very quickly. Be content with what God has given you. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Again, not only do we live in the richest country on earth, we also live in the most materialistic nation on earth. Believe me, I have been to a lot of places. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Is it wrong to have stuff? No. But we got to ask ourselves. Scripture teaches so many in so many places. You know, we need to store for ourselves treasures in heaven. Where thieves and where thieves do not break in and steal. And where things don't get rotten. But a lot of times, you know, we run around and we're accumulating stuff on this earth. And then we go into debt doing it. That's the part I don't understand. It shouldn't be that way. Amen? If it was simply live within our means, if we will simply be content with what God has given us. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Remember that it is God who gives us the ability to make money and the ability to produce wealth. And Timothy is reminding, Paul is writing Timothy, again, he's writing to a Christian. He's actually a young minister. And he says, you know what? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And he reminds us that, you know what? We brought nothing into this world. And we can take nothing from it. I've said it before and I'll say it again. When we're going to that funeral procession, and we're going to lay you to rest in a cemetery, there's not going to be a U-Haul after that hearse. Okay? If there is one, I will make sure that all those things are sold and the money given to the poor. I can guarantee you that right now from this pulpit. It's not going to happen. Because you can't take it with you. You know, one of the saddest things these days, I don't know if you've seen on the TV the last several months, people have actually gone to cemeteries and steal those brass vases. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, who would do something like that? People steal those things and then they go recycle them and sell them back to the undertakers. It's terrible. Why? All chasing money. It shouldn't be. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, just write the reference down. We all know it. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money. Money is not evil in itself. It's the love of money that the Bible talks about that we got to watch out for. Amen? And it's always, I've been a Christian now 25 years. It never ceases to amaze me that the people that are the most generous, the people that help, really help their brothers and sisters, the people that really help the poor, the people that really give for missions, are the people God continues to bless with money. It always amazes me. I was talking to a brother not too long ago, and he called me up and says, "Richard, you're not going to believe this." I said, "What happened?" He says, "You know what? You know, we just did our missions contribution a few weeks ago, or I guess a few months now, you know, and obviously they wrote their check, and it's not easy to be sacrificial. You know, especially when you've decided, you know, here's the amount we're going to give. And despite the economy or despite what's going on, we're not going to, you know, reduce that number." And so they gave by faith. And so he called me and said, "You're not going to believe this. My wife got a bonus. And it was this much more than what we just gave." I said, "Amen. That's the way God does it." Does that make sense? I'm not going to tell you who it is so that you don't go ask them for money. Well, true story, I'm not making it up. But you see, when we give, God always gives it back to us. My Bible tells me that God knows what you and I need even before we ask. Amen? So I'm not saying, please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it is wrong to have this or to have that. That's not what I'm saying. But we got to make sure that we're using whatever resources God has given us to advance His kingdom, not ours. Very, very important. There's a huge distinction. Amen? And number three, always put God first. You know, Bishop Galbraith talked to the men a couple of weeks ago about giving and really called the men as the leaders of the households to really study the whole stuff, the whole topic out again. And I hope you've done that. Because it's all God's money. Where we're giving sacrificially, but he's saying, see, we can't give to God if we're in debt. We can't do it. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. You know, you watch TV and you see all these commercials. One of the ones that really gets to me is when furniture stores are telling you to come buy furniture and you don't have to pay any whatever until 2014. It doesn't make sense. By the time you start making the payments, the seats are already wobbly. You don't see the psychology in that. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Is it wrong to replace our furniture? No. All I'm saying is save up the money and then do it. Amen? Save up the money and then do whatever it is you need to do. We got to start living on credit. We got to stop it. Amen? Again, I'll say it again. I honestly believe, this is my own personal opinion and my conviction, that the only debt, really, a Christian is meant to have is maybe probably the debt on your house. That's it. Because that's a huge amount of money. But do you realize that in most third world countries, people save up their money all their lives, and then when they're about 60 years old, they go buy the land and they build a house. That's the way most of the world does it. Because you don't have this credit where, you know, you're 25 years old, out of school, and some bank is going to loan you money. It doesn't happen. It's not happening. And that's why you'll find a lot of single people, especially in Africa. I'm not sure if that's the case in India. I'm sure it is. I'm almost certain of it. You see them living in their parents' home until the day they get married. Because you can't afford to go out and live by yourself. For instance, where I come from, you want to live on your own? Fine. 2 years rent in advance. That's what you are going to pay for that apartment. I mean, who has that kind of money? And so what you find, a lot of parents will now give that as a wedding gift to their kids. But I share all this stuff to say, you know what? We're very blessed in this country. But we can't abuse the credit system. We cannot become like the world. I mean, look at all the unrest that's going on right now. It's not just America that's in trouble. There are a lot of countries in Europe that are in trouble. Because they're living within their means. Beyond their means. And it shouldn't be that way. Are you with me? And I say, you know, Rich, now you're getting into politics. Well, not really. I believe the poor needs to be helped. Okay? It's not a government thing. It's a Christian thing. But I also believe people need to live within their means, and the government also needs to live within its means. Say, well, what does that make you? I don't know. You don't see me running for office. And I'm not saying it's easy either. But you see, as Christians, God calls us to live a certain way. Amen? But we always need to put God first. Matthew chapter 6, we're very familiar with this passage. It says, you know, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Say, you're more important than birds. Say, I mean, take a look at the birds. Take a look at the flowers of the field. They don't labor or spin or store away in barns, and yet God takes care of them. It says, you and I are a whole lot more valuable than birds. Amen to that? It says, but we should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And God says, all these things will be given to you as well. All we need to do is make sure that in everything we put God first. And he promises to take care of everything else. Amen? You know, I just came back from Africa. And I remember going, it was great, awesome time. And I got to tell you, again, where I'm from, you don't just show up. Like, I'm here. Like, if anything, oh, we're glad you're here. We got this problem and that problem and this problem and it's a lot of money problems. But you see, getting on the plane going back home this time around, believe it or not, this is the most broke I've felt in the last 7 years. And I say, you know what? I can't give away what I don't have because I'm not going to go into debt. I will not do it. And so on the second to last day before I come back, there's a very good friend of mine. When he comes to the U.S., he comes by and says hello. And when we go home, I always make sure I stop by. And I wasn't going to go by to say hello. I really wasn't. But I needed to go to the bathroom. As I said, you know what? His office is down the road. I'm just going to go in there, use the bathroom, say hi, bye. And so I went in there, went straight to the bathroom first, and then I went in, and, you know, the receptionist buzzed him and said I was around. So he came, I was like, so good to see you. Have a seat, you know. He was on the phone, he was in the middle of a phone call. So he came in, he comes in, he goes, you're not going to believe this. A few minutes ago, I just finished praying that who am I going to give my tithe to? And you walk in, so I'm going to give it to you. So, do you have your passport with you? I said, no. He says, okay, I'm going to write the check out. You can go cash it at this bank, this. And he sat there and wrote me $200, just like that. And I thought I was just going to use the bathroom. I thought it was fun. I was like, wait a second. I come to Africa and you are giving me money? And I tithe, by the way. Amen. Everything I get, I tithe it. Minimum. But I thought it was very, I don't know, I thought it was funny. I just smiled. I said, God, you're funny. Honestly, that's all I could do. You never know how God is going to give it back to you. I wasn't expecting that. That was the last thing on my mind. And he said, what is that? You put it tithe in your pocket? No. He didn't give it to the church. He gave it to me. Okay? He said, I want to give it to you. I said, okay. He's one of those guys that considers me his pastor. But anyway, I keep walking on him. It's been years, but we're going to get there one of these days. Tom Brown is going to come visit us in a few weeks. And I wasn't there when he was converted. But I've heard the stories over and over again. When Tom Brown was baptized into Christ as a student at the University of Florida, it was the middle of the night. But he wanted to get baptized in his best clothes. Because he felt, you know what? I'm giving it all up for God. And he put on his best attire. He had his wallet in his pocket. He says, you know, everything is going down because it all belongs to God. And he got baptized, decked out with his wallet. Everything. I share that to say, you know, that is somebody who truly understands that, you know what, it all belongs to God. He's an awesome preacher. And I can't wait for him to come in the next few weeks here. But we've got to remember to always put God first. We're stewards, church. And Thomas is going to come up now and say a few words, and then we're going to be watching a video. I want to encourage you, if you've not taken this class, to really go ahead, and it's going to help you tremendously. And money should not be an issue. Again, talk to Thomas in terms of, if you really want to take the class and just learn how to really become great stewards. It's going to pay you dividends, big time, later in life. Amen?